The U.S. defense industry is large, complex, and competitive. It is also lucrative for those companies able to navigate it successfully. The American Society of Military Comptrollers helps bridge the gap between the boardroom and the battlefield while supporting transformation in the defense sector. The Business of Defense podcast brings you inside the companies working to achieve this, directly from the business leaders, and to understand how they create value for their companies and their customers. For more information on ASMC, visit asmconline.org.
Hey, happy Fishiversary.
Happy Fishiversary to you, too.
Can you believe we did 100 of these stupid things?
Welcome to the Fish Nerds, the podcast about fish, fishing, and eating fish. It's always interesting, usually funny, and mostly true. I'm Doc Martin, and here are the nerds.
It's our 100th episode, and we're recording it live on Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yes.
So you hear snow machines going behind us. That's not an effect we're adding in. That's real life.
Real life, and that is Tim Moore delivering hot breakfast sandwiches out on the ice.
Yeah. Tim Moore is guiding the adventure today, Tim and Chuck Fritz. From Tim Moore Outdoors, and he set up a thing called the Ice Fishing Grudge Match with all kinds of crazy ice fishing people, and we're celebrating our show, our 100th episode, with... Here's Tim now!
Hey, hello. Hi.
We were just saying that you guys are doing it right.
It's a customer service job, like it or not. That's what guiding is. It's a customer service job. So,
well, McDonald's would be proud of you. I think
that's not saying much, but thank you.
But yeah, that anyway. Was very good. Ice fishing on Winnipesaukee.
Right. Tough word to say, Winnipesaukee, even harder word to spell.
Well, and I think you were the first one to tell me the Native American translation.
Right. In the old Algonquin language, and this is not a written language, so it's really difficult to fact check, but Winnipesaukee, little known fact, means impossible to drive around in a short time.
Oh, right.
You cannot drive around this lake at an easy time because it's right in the middle of the state and it blocks all the highways. And everyone knows that the Algonquins really like traveling in straight lines. So
right.
They named this lake Winnipesaukee, which means you can't get there from here.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's also a curse word.
It has been. I've used it. Winnipesaukee!
You Winnipesaukees.
Oh, I would have gotten there faster if it wasn't for you Winnipesaukees.
I know, man. But it's an amazing lake that is really kind of eight lakes in one. We are in Moultonboro Bay, right?
We are. And it's interesting because we're on about 10 inches of ice, pretty safe spot. And I was in Meredith Bay 2 days ago, and it's liquid still.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And there's tons and tons of islands around, and we're fortunate here with Tim Moore and Chuck Fritz, who are guides. I think they guide officially under Tim Moore Outdoors, is that right?
Yeah.
And just doing a great job with a bunch of friends in the area, And what's interesting is with all these people, they all have a story.
Good morning, Wicked Fishes.
That is Dave Perry of WickedFisha.com. That's a New England fishing blog. Dave has been our friend for a very long time, right from the beginning. And he's just a leader in this whole New England fishing community.
My philosophy is to find out where Dwight is marking fish and then fish in that same column because he is already on the board with the first fish of the day.
Oh, what did he get?
He got himself a little rock bass. Oh, fish on. I've got something here. It's a little fighter. We'll see what it is.
Hey,
rock,
fish!
Rock bass. There we go.
Nice, on a mealworm.
On a mealworm.
I've never catch fish on mealworms.
Well, that's we were just amazing. Talking about them. He bit me, so I put him on the hook.
And then you can eat them. They taste like peanuts.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
They do. Yeah. Yeah, you can find
them. Oh, by the way, happy 100th to you guys.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
I can't believe it's flown by that fast. I work 9 to 5 for Raytheon BBN Technologies Company. I am their divisional security manager. I help people get clearances. I hide all the secrets.
Oh, my God.
I do counterintelligence work.
Oh, well, don't. Well, Clay is all about counterintelligence. You should have seen him putting his snowmobile together. Oh! Nice.
You guys are good luck for me.
That was a good hook set.
You guys are good luck for me.
All right.
Actually, deeper here than I thought.
Oh,
hey,
nice, nice rock bass. Yeah.
So I've been working for the same company for 25 years, so I've accrued quite a bit of vacation time. I end up taking off pretty much every Friday during the fishing season, the open water season. My family calls my truck a rolling tackle box. I keep all my gear in the truck. So on the way home from work, I go by the Sudbury Rivers, the Concord Rivers, Sudbury Reservoir, and I just stop and fish whenever I get a chance to.
So this episode of the Fish Nerds podcast, episode number 100, our Fishiversary, is supported by Daddy Mac Lures. They've been great to us since we started, and they've actually given us a little bit of financial backing today to help us really get things kind of fired up for the new season. So we'll have to see what comes forward. And if you want to support the Fish Nerds, you can help them by going to patreon.com and donating to our show and help us get enough money to make this show really spectacular.
Well, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Daddy Mac Lure company and philosophy and those kind of things, because one of the nice things about a podcast like this and ice fishing is that you have a lot of time and you can learn a lot of this stuff. But, you know, this is Daddy Mac's doing it right. They're in Bass Pro Shop up here.
They're everywhere I've been lately. And you know what I think they've been doing right is really focusing on building a community. You know, they're on the internet, and if you reach out to them with your whatever you're doing, they're going to be excited about you, even if you're not necessarily buying their lures. They just want to see your fish and talk to you about fish and fishing. And I think by building that kind of trust, it kind of builds that brand, which is nice. Although they still have the worst logo in history of logos.
It is a very creepy logo of Jack Houghton's father-in-law with flippers for hands.
Yeah, yeah. My daughter does not like it.
It is creepy. It is one of those creepy ones.
Yeah. So Dwight, we're doing a little bit of technique talk this morning. We're going to talk about technique, how you're catching fish, what's your strategy, what are you using? So first, Dwight Dion, right?
Yes, it is.
And it's Dwight Dion Fishing. Is that your what people find you?
That's my page on Facebook, Dwight Dion Fishing. Just follows my trail through ABA Fishing, multiple club tournaments, and right now the ice.
Yeah. How did you come up with that name?
It just came to me. I actually work at best knife company in the world, Dexter Russell. I've been a CNC lathe back grinder there for 4 years now. So I handle all operations for forming the back of every single Dexter Russell blade.
And then we asked Dion why he has a passion for fishing.
No explanation. I just love it. I absolutely love it. The thrill. And now with my son and everything, seeing him getting into, you know, trout fishing and everything, that is the best excitement ever, seeing my little guy get into big fish and everything. My first tournament is actually, I believe it's the second week of April. It starts on Congamon. Our championship, we actually got a big one this year for my district, is Lake Champlain, Ticonderoga. And then with any luck, I'll make my championship. It's Lake Eufaula this year in... I believe it's South Carolina. It's off of, I believe it's the Savannah River. So I was able to fish Lake Hartwell this year for my national championship, which was nice because the Bassmaster Classic was actually there in 2015. We had a tournament on Lake Wampanoag in Gardner. I had a great day, was culling by 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. I actually managed to pull out a second-place victory. First-place co-angler, second-place overall in the day with just under a 10-pound bag.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So, and almost pulled it out of my hat for our championship on the Connecticut River this year. I went into the last day only down by 3 pounds, ended up taking that tournament for co-angler, but missed co-angler championship by 3 points on the year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about fishing competition.
Yeah.
Talking sports to me, I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
It sounds, whatever you said sounds great.
Well, so. It's if you have more than 12 people, it starts off with a 200-point point system. And as each place drops down 1 point, as under 12 people are there or over, points go up. So.
Cool.
4 pound Invisalign Berkeley, so fluorocarb, 100% fluorocarbon. So I truly believe in fluorocarbon through the ice, you know, just a lot less stretch and fish can't see it. Well, right now I'm not marking anything, but I'll absolutely hammer the jig, bounce it, dead stick it, try to get something to come in. Just keep on doing it until you attract any kind of fish, get them in to bite. I believe it's a quarter ounce Haley chain jig, chartreuse glow. Four spikes on the little single hook, the Haley chain, seems to work wonders. Maggots, yeah. we like to church it up a little bit.
Spikes are watching a little bit.
This is actually, I got two rock bass already, but we're going to get into some bigger stuff in a bit. So for smaller fish, the perch, the calicos.
The rock bass. Some of our listeners might not be familiar with the rock bass. We went to the Missouri website, Missouri Department of Natural Resources, because the rock bass is native to the Mississippi drainage, to the central part of the United States, not up here in the Northeast. So they were introduced. According to the website and in Missouri DNR, they are thicker body than most sunfish, with a large mouth and very large eyes. Color is variable, but generally dark to bronze above, often blotchy on the sides. It has a distinct pattern of dark spots along the sides. And that is the main difference between some of their closest relatives, which is an Ozark bass or a shadow bass. Once again, not in New England, but if you're out in the Midwest, you would need to distinguish between those. Total length is about 11 inches for a big one, weight in the 1 pound range. They have gotten up to 17 inches and 2 pounds, 12 ounces. That's the Missouri record. Their habitat is typically streams in the northern part of the Ozarks and tributaries in the middle Mississippi. They are most active in twilight and at night. They love crayfish and aquatic insects. Occasionally, they'll eat some terrestrial insects. I think about any fish is going to eat a terrestrial insect. The status of the rock bass, which we would call goggle eye growing up in Indiana. I think a lot of places in the Midwest call them goggle eye. The status where they're at in the Midwest, they're fine. Lots of people catch them. A lot of people don't like to eat them because they tend to be small, and a lot of people think they have a lot of parasites. I think in certain waters, that probably is true. In Winnipesaukee, where we were at, they're introduced species. Not a lot of people eat them. We convinced Hugo to eat them, and he posted some pretty gruesome parasite pictures of the flesh of one of the rock bass that had black spot. Black spot looks like somebody put pepper all throughout the meat, and what that is a fluke. Fluke are pretty amazing because fluke infest a fish, and then for the fluke to continue their life cycle, they need to be eaten by a bird. That bird needs to poop in the water, and then the fluke come out of that and find a snail, and they live in a snail for a long time. Then they come out of the snail, they find a fish, and that is the full cycle of the black spot fluke. So, you can admire it, but you probably don't want to eat it, and Hugo didn't want to do that either. But that's the quick rundown of the northern rock bass.
Using it's a Frabel 24-inch light rod. So far, so good. I just bought it a couple weeks ago. And I got a couple other favorites, but I thought I'd give this one a shot.
With Phil Belcher Jr.
Got another shiner on this one and switched up the jig. Yeah, it's a VMC. I believe it's a clam, but it's a VMC minnow jig.
Oh,
yeah, like a little perch patent on it, yeah. My day job, I'm an IT manager for an engineering firm. I have to work 40 hours a week, and I can only fish like 40 hours a week. It's not really a balance. It's when I'm not working, I'm fishing.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not totally true. I should take that back. I got a wife and three kids. I got a nine-year-old, five-year-old, and I got a six-month-old baby. So I haven't been fishing much the last 6 months. Born in June, so most of my canal season at the end of the year, I didn't get out as much as I'd like to. But
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a balance of work, family, and fish. And work pays the bills. Family obviously is the family, and then fish whenever I can. And
yeah,
you know, the other guys on Team Daddy Mac with me are Squid and Dan Thistle, and us guys, we put usually about 30-40 hours a week on the ice. Once the ice isn't thick, we go from, you know, 8 p.m. till 1-2 a.m. So I spent a lot of time building this thing, but I actually have inside of here, I've got my heater, but I also got my 12-volt battery with an AC inverter. I got an amplifier. I got indoor-outdoor speakers mounted on the front. I've got the fridge/heater over there that plugs in via 12-volt.
Get 12 out of volt. Here.
Oh, yeah. I've got a...
That's awesome.
We got our nighttime light, which is around here somewhere. It's a bright LED right here. It's a LED low voltage light that I can run. Yeah. So I got the clam shelter, which is a 5-foot by 5-foot shelter. We got all three of us in here. We were out here at 2 a.m. last night, so I had all this stuff with me to set up, and we were warm, and we had light, shelter. It was great. Awesome. Yeah, I like pounding the bottom, bring it up 2-3 feet, let it hit real hard, and then kind of violently jig for a minute, bring it back up, and kind of go down slow all over again. Right now I'm using a clam blade jig.
How's it working out for you?
So far, no fish, so I would say not too well right now. It could go better.
Could go better.
Pink.
Pink's a good color.
Pink's a great color. Yeah, it's been very good to me. Color, yeah.
Lake Winnipesaukee is the largest lake in New Hampshire. It's located in what we call the Lakes region. We're really clever that way. It's approximately 21 miles long and about 9 miles wide at its widest point. It covers 71 square miles. Its maximum depth is 212 feet. The center area of the lake is called the Broads. That's nowhere near where we were at. We were up by State's Landing in Moultonboro Bay. The lake contains at least 258 islands. Once again, 258 islands, half of which are less than a quarter acre in size. The driving distance around the lake is 63 miles. It is 504 feet above sea level. Winnipesaukee is the third largest lake in New England after Lake Champlain and Moosehead Lake.
I'm fishing with a clam drop jig with a little spikes on it. And it's doing pretty well.
Yeah,
it's got a couple of rock bass, and Jack Jr. caught a white perch on it.
Yeah.
You go fishing with Tim Moore, you show up, and he supplies everything for you. So I think it's Dave Gens.
That was Jack Houghton from Daddy Mac Lures.
I am a computer programmer.
No kidding.
For a company in Boston. I work for a company that does hedge fund, and they invest in medical products.
Yeah.
And they make landscape maps for a particular disease, so they know who to watch and who not to watch. And I wrote software to digitize their maps.
Good.
Pretty boring stuff. I don't get to fish much.
Right.
I do own a lure company, so. But it's long nights.
Yeah.
Yep. It's long days. We have a crazy schedule coming up. We're at Boxbow next week, and then we're doing the Blue Water Bash. Then we're in Springfield, and then it just goes on. Rhode Island, Suffolk, New York, Somerset, New Jersey, and then Augusta, Maine. Matt's been working with us, helping us out a lot.
We want to take a little break from the reporting on the lake to focus on Jack. Jack, we got him to come into the Fish Nerd studio provided by Tim and Chuck in their clam insulated awesome 6-pack whatever portable shed or shack. The clam products are amazing. They set all that up for us, and so we had this nice little recording studio out on the ice, heater and everything. And we invited Jack in to talk a little bit more about his business. We're on the ice of storied waters of Winnipesaukee.
Oh, I like that they're storied.
The storied waters.
I was going to say sullied.
That was after you were on
Well,
it.
No, the language that Daddy Mac Lures is using today is sullying the ice.
Sullying the ice. Jack Houghton is with us from Daddy Mac Lures. Hi, Jack.
How you doing?
Good, good. You were saying some stuff as we were setting up all this spider web of gear. No, you don't need to name names, but I liked your philosophy about sort of, when companies start off small with a good heart and then they get greedy.
Yes. Yes. It's very common.
Yeah. So right now your shop, I would say, is big on heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about the customer.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about sort of your philosophy of serving the customer.
Well, when someone buys a lure from Daddy Mac Lures, we back the lure. If any problems, no questions asked, we'll exchange it. We don't even need proof that you bought a lure. It's just,
Did you hear that?
There will be those that take advantage of that, but they'll be happy. And they'll be happy with Daddy Mac Lures as a brand, and that's number one to us.
Well, and what's really great is that if you buy one of these lures and you call up the number, is the number on the packaging?
No, you can get the website and then you can get the contact us from that point.
But, you know, I mean, you're talking to real, real people who are, we've known you for a couple of years. And, you know, I really appreciate that kind of customer service that zeroed in on, like, you know, this is a fun activity. Let's don't have people be unhappy as they go through all this.
Right.
And your lures are great. Your lures are great.
It's been unreal.
Yeah.
We have no complaints. We're growing unbelievably. And we look forward to continuing to grow.
I think you will. You were talking earlier about why you started Daddy Mac. You want to refresh us on that?
Sure. So there are
briefly?
Those. Sure. Those there are those companies that
who?
I'm just kidding. They look to, you know, get a lot of profit, and they're making decisions based on the profit margin, which any company should. But you know that there's profit, and then there's exorbitant profit. And I know when you sell an $18 jig, that there's lots of profit in that. And you know, those companies leave room for other companies to come in and undercut them.
So do you think people who would, let's say, buy an $18 jig, are they buying the brand or are they buying the jig? Usually.
Yeah, they're buying the brand. These companies position themselves very well to be a vertical jig, the one-all solution. So they're buying the rod, the reel, and the jig.
And they're buying it from a company that they've seen since they were kids, so they recognize the brand, and that's really kind of the go-to. So,
right.
So if you can get your brand on that level of recognition but have as good a jig but at a lower cost, that's a win.
Sure. Yeah, and there are a lot of people that, you know, buy based on cost alone. You know, the entire commercial fisheries down in Massachusetts, we've proven that for striped bass, they're buying our jigs. And one, they work, but two, the cost point.
Well, it works out great because fish can't read.
Yes.
It turns out.
Yes.
You know? So if they're using, you know, very fancy Rapala or Daddy Mac, the fish, they see a fish.
Yes.
They see bait, they don't care.
The key is catching fish to me, you know.
Yeah.
And I think we do a good job with our lures catching fish.
I think so. I know in the springtime for smallmouth bass, your 3-inch Viper yellow perch has been my go-to. This year, I think I bought 3 or 4 in the springtime from you. And while I was fishing them, I gave them away to people.
Oh.
Like, they're like, oh, what is that? I'm like, oh, this is, you know, 3-inch
perch.
We'll
have to get you some more.
You did.
Oh, okay.
You refreshed me. You filled me back up. I told you about it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you went, don't do that. I'll give you some more.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But one thing I really like, too, and this is true with fish nerd stuff, is when you catch fish with a Daddy Mac lure or with a fish nerd's hat on or whatever, and you share it out, it's appreciated.
Absolutely.
You get the pleasure. Like, I know when I see a fish nerd's hat on our Facebook page, I get so excited about it. and I'm sure you get that same feeling with one of your lures.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we get a lot of pictures back. The number of lures we sell, we expect more pictures. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a lure company, and not having that direct contact selling through tackle shops, you're not getting that feedback. So what happens at the expos, which is very reassuring, and it's half the reason I love going to them, is you talk to the people that have great experiences, and you always joke, like, where's the pictures? Oh, it's in my camera. Or they'll send you a picture without the hook in the mouth, and you have a picture of a fish. But it's, you know, you get appreciation from them for your product, and you hear the stories about them, and it's been great.
Right. Imagine the percentage of people who actually share a photo are pretty low overall, right? It's got to be.
I would think
it's
pretty
low. You sell 100 baits, maybe one remember to share a picture with.
Right.
You, so.
And keep in mind, they're fishermen. They're protective, right? So when they have a hot lure, when they have a hot lure and they do well with it, they want to keep it guarded. You know, they only tell their best.
Isn't that strange? Like, I get protecting a spot, maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, they say, what, lure works great? To me, I'm like,
yeah,
I want everyone to catch fish. But why would you protect yourself from other lures? Like,
yeah, no, it's just they protect themselves from competition of other people fishing in their area with the same lures.
Yeah,
competitive nature.
Competitive, so
it's almost an, you know, it's an issue in you know, someone buys Tide, right? Washing detergent. They're going to tell other people about it. There's no real competitions. There's no reason not to tell.
I don't know. Lure industry. Ask me what I use for laundry detergent.
What do you use for laundry?
I don't know. See?
Yeah.
Secretive. I don't know.
But the point being is, you know, as a, you know, the fishing community protects secrets and, you know, the spots and the lures and the colors and that stuff, it gives them an advantage. it's almost like you know something that someone else doesn't. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So are you having a good time here today?
I am. This is, the weather's been unbelievable.
It's been great. Oh. Kids are catching fish.
Yep. Everyone's caught fish, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
I think, but they, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So we're still in Winnipesaukee. We're actually inside of a nice shanty right now.
Yep.
And we're celebrating our 100th episode.
So, Jack, I have a very hard-hitting question for
Uh-oh,
you.
Oh, here we go.
And this is gonna tax your brain.
Uh-oh.
Why?
I've been up since 2, first
okay,
of all.
Okay, all right. Why in the world are you so generous and supportive of the Fish Nerds?
Well, all right, so I've been listening to you guys since I met you. I think at Rocking, was it Rocking originally?
Probably.
No. You know where it was? I was fishing with Tim.
Yeah.
We were fishing, and you guys pulled us on a call. I think
you were striped bass fishing.
We were striped bass fishing, and Tim was out fishing me.
Yeah.
I didn't like that, but it happens a lot with Tim.
You can't go shoulder to shoulder with Tim Moore.
Yeah, exactly.
It just doesn't work. Yeah.
But, you know, Tim turned me on to you guys. You guys are great guys. Mm-hmm. Very informative. I love listening to your show. I look forward to it. You know, I get a lot out of your show. You guys have been very good to us. You know, I just love the whole story, how you started. And God bless you, eating every fish in New Hampshire. that's just amazing. And I love... You're back and forth. You guys work well together. It still amazes me. I don't know if this is a secret or not, but that you guys are not in the same room. And you guys...
Right. In fact, if you listen to any of our live shows when we're in the same room, they're a little uncomfortable at times, like... because I can't stand looking at Dave.
I know.
Yes. So I picture you in a car somewhere at some time. And
that's happened. Dave,
I'm
yeah,
sure.
It's Dave, happened. You know. But my studio's in my basement in a closet.
Right.
And Dave's got an attic studio.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
But there has been times where I've sat in my truck and done shows.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, it's certainly been a fun experience. And, you know, it's really great to sort of have somebody recognize that it's a, you know, it's we don't have to be doing this.
Yeah, no, and you and it's a passion.
Yeah.
You can tell, and it comes across in your work.
Yeah.
It's very professional, and it's great. And I just love the back and forth, like the, you know, the little comments by Clay and...
Oh God!
Yeah.
my wife, Kristen, always says, "You know that thing you say after you've said too much, and you say, oh, no, I've said too much.'
Yeah,
you need to say that 3 sentences sooner every time.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Always go 2 or 3 sentences too long into a bit, and it gets uncomfortable.
Yeah, you should see the cutting room floor. It's it's pretty thick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah.
And
you do, by the way, a good job of centering me, because half the stuff I say, I wonder, God, if Kristen hears that, what's going to happen? You
know? I know. I have to protect the brand, i.e. your ass, if it gets out. Some of the info.
Because she could fire me.
She could fire all of us. Yeah. You know, she could pull the plug on the whole dang thing. Yeah. So, but anyway, well, I'm so glad you're part of our 100th anniversary.
Yeah, so I just want to say to you guys, congratulations. It's been awesome. I look forward to listening to your future shows and being part of the Fish Nerds community. And for that, for all the shows that we've done in the past,
I play this song for you.
We'd like to donate $100, one for each episode.
Oh, that's awesome.
And $2 with the Daddy Mac logo replacing...
Perfect.
George Washington.
So we are now funded until show 102.
Until 102, yeah.
And, you know, we get a lot out of your show, and we enjoy it. And we want to, you know, you deserve something for that. And we would like everybody listening to do the same, because if you enjoy something and you're getting a lot out of it, you should, you know, step up.
We appreciate that. And we always tell our fans, you know, just donate $1 a show.
That's right.
Ongoing, not all at one time.
Right.
You know, $4 a month, and we'd be rich.
Yeah.
This is like $15 or $20 a month.
There you go.
This is just like public radio, you know, where this person gets on and they go, you know, if I listen to it for free, I feel bad.
You know what? Damn it. Yeah. You should feel bad. If you listen to a show and you're driving around giggling at the stupid stuff that Dave says.
No, right.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you should feel bad about not supporting us.
Yeah. And truthfully, I want to see it go forward. I think you guys have, even the last year with your relationship you've built, I can see the show getting more popular, taking off. People have mentioned it to me, you know, on the side.
That's cool.
That's great.
No, it's pretty cool when that stuff happens.
Well, what else do you like about us?
Well, enough about us.
I like your new sled.
Yeah, we took the snowmobile for her inaugural ride. We should name it.
We should.
We think we should name,
you name her.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. We got
a
name
she,
it,
right?
I don't know. Well, seriously, with a boat, they come with names, right?
Well, you're not supposed to change the name.
If you buy a used boat. You're not supposed to change we had this on the show last week. But so if you buy a used boat, you can't change the name. But a snowmobile.
I don't think you name a snowmobile.
You don't name him?
Nerdette.
I
don't think you
know. Slippy? What?
Nerdette.
Nerdette.
That means piece of shit.
No, Nerdette.
Oh, Nerdette.
Like female
nerd. I
thought
you said no debt.
No.
Oh. I mean, yeah, I did buy it with cash. I don't have any debt. Yeah, it's kind of a piece of junk.
Yeah, but it's yeah, it's great. Right, so. Well, that's excellent. Well, thank you so much again.
Yeah, thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
Dallas?
Bobby.
Different TV.
Yes. All right, well, we're going to talk to Dallas about this. I'm the spearfishing, freediving portion of the Get Bent crew. So if it's about ocean fishing, that's my game.
So you're the excuse maker.
I'm the excuse maker.
It's a fray bill. I just got it the other day. I don't do much jigging. I'm from Maine. We do a lot of, you know, more trap fishing.
Yep.
Set it up and wait.
Yeah, set them up and wait, hang out, stay warm, drink beers, eat good food, you know.
Yeah, but saw you brought a bar with you.
Yeah, well, pretty much. Yeah, that's what I'm known for. We both tend bars, so that's kind of where it comes from. But our technique mainly is get us as many of us out here. I think we got 5 on the Get Bent crew. Get them in the holes. We got 2 traps up and 4 people jigging right now, and try to get ahead of these guys right off the bat. So far, we got a couple bites. We're using these flashers here, as you can hear the ice crack. The flashers really help kind of show, you know, if you're just standing in a hole of nothing, or you might have some hope. So
when are you going to go do the free dive and see what you can pull up?
Well, season starts up when the water hits about 50 degrees.
I mean now.
Oh, right now? Well, let's get a couple more augers over here. Give me a hole and tie a rope to me, and I'm ready to rock.
I know. I mean, you know, if you're going to do one for the team.
I'm all about the team. Well, I'm actually more about me. I'm all about the heck with you guys. I just want to jump in this beautiful water. You
I'm
know,
about me.
It's like all about me. I'm actually gonna start a new club. It's called the Winnipesaukee Polar Bear Club.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna dive down there. The idea is you open your mouth and you just look for it like rock bass and just grab it.
Sort of the merganser kind of approach.
I am the seal of Winnipesaukee.
Oh, nice. I like it.
That's perfect.
Very good.
John Field. With team Get Bent today. Today I am shooting with a Canon 70D DSLR camera, 60 frames per second, so I can get that nice slow-mo action later on when we chop it up.
Well, yeah, and you're a challenge because your team's pretty ugly.
Pretty ugly, yeah. So that's why we got the masks covering up the face, you know.
Yeah.
As you can tell, it's not that cold out. We made them keep the masks on. You know?
I'm more of a radio personality.
Yes, yes, he's a face for radio. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it, yep.
Very good.
Face for podcast, so.
That's right.
Well, I wish you luck, guys.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Very good.
Learning some new techniques today.
The question is, how is he looking at you right now?
I don't know. Does he want it? I don't know. Yeah, and it's kind of addicting in a weird way.
I know.
It's a whole nother, whole nother game.
Right. I'm Anthony. Get Bent.
And I'm Regina.
Anthony, very good. What do you do on the show?
Co-host. Oh. So John and I, we co-host. We go after all species of fish.
Yep.
And today we're out here. Getting down on the ice, drilling some holes, jigging, using the Vexar, and kind of just playing like a Donkey Kong / Frogger video game right now. You know what I mean? We're trying to be right next to that fish, but not too close, and get them to chase it around. So we have a spike, also known as a maggot, on a single hook jig. And it's a pink spoon. Pink's so hot right now.
Pink is hot.
Yeah, it's the 2016 color, fashion. We just got back from Fashion Week. Pink is hot. Yeah. Regina is our fashion guru.
Yeah.
You know, we were walking the runways. She said, "Pink, so hot."
Pink is the new black.
So hot.
It's true.
So I came out with a little pink. She came out with a little silver blue. We're shaking it up.
How many fish you got?
0.
I started my career with Polar Beverages out of Worcester, Massachusetts, soda and seltzer company.
Yeah, with the big inflatable polar bear.
Exactly. In marketing, and last July, I joined the sales side of things. So I do a balance between sales and marketing for a beverage company. I work the, 8:30 to 5 job. I don't have to be in the office all the time now that I'm in sales. So, I mean, weekends are particularly when I get out on the water. I'm sending emails from my phone. You know, when you're out on the canoe, you can attach stuff on your emails. You can do all sorts of stuff.
Nothing yet. Just starting a new approach. Going back to the tilts. Back to the basics.
The tilts. But, if you're from Maine?
No.
They used to call them tilts.
I don't know where they call them tilts. I hear it once what in a while, call? And it's like an old school
traps
term.
Traps is what they call them. Why did you call them tilts?
I don't know. That's all I ever knew of them as.
Where are you from?
I'm from Worcester, Mass.
Worcester?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a central Mass?
Though. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, well, I'm also not like a pro, but that's all I've ever fished with is, or ice fished with is tilts. Yeah. Or traps.
You can call them tilts.
Yeah. I am a bartender.
Bartender.
It's more of a night job. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then how do you balance a fishing obsession with your...
More work, less fishing obsession.
We got your flag?
Leg up! Leg up! Floor flag in the day! Oh, my God!
That's right.
Cincinnati!
The most photographed rock bass of all time.
showing finesse.
Yeah,
he's
there.
Waiting for a tug. He's there. He's going to set the hook.
Fish. Hook set is imminent. The fish knows he's hooked now.
That is a set.
Up. Now
clean
ball.
Set.
Pull
small. Clean set. Monster.
Small.
No slack on that line, and we'll see what it
Come
is.
Come on, let's see. He's fighting hard. He's fighting hard. Yeah! Oh, my God. What do you got, 20-pound test on that bad boy?
30. We got a 30-pound wow. Great white species.
Oh, we got a rock bass here.
Rock
hold that up for me, Big D.
2.5 pounds.
Hold the sun for me. Yeah, here you go.
So that crew you've been listening to is the Get Bent TV crew. There was 5 of them out there on that team. They say that they're mostly bartenders and they're just kind of doing this just for kicks. I tell you what, they are really good with the video camera. They build themselves as looking at fishing in the new age. I think they're saying basically millennials. If you go to their website, getbenttv.com, on the About What We Do, they say, fueled by passion for the outdoors, the Get Bent team set out to show the art of angling is not just for your grandfather, but for all who seek to be in the moment. Follow them as they pass on the traditions of yesterday and remix for today's modern world. They're very hip. They're a lot hipper than Clay and I will ever be. And check out their videos. Their videos are crazy good. Unbelievable sort of cinematography stuff happening. They did some footage from the event we were at together on Winnipesaukee, and Clay and I looked at it and said, I can't even believe we were at the same event. This thing looks so stinking good. So check out Get Bent TV at getbenttv.com. You can also find them on Vimeo, I believe.
Jim.
Jim, fishing with today.
Team Daddy Mac.
Daddy Mac.
That was a sunfish.
Yeah.
Got a yellow perch about 10 minutes ago. Much different using the Vexilar than using nothing. I got here at 1:30 a.m. We fished till about 6:30 a.m. I caught nothing. I'm using a clam epoxy drop with a maggot. And I'm just basically letting it sit on the bottom, keep bringing it up every now and then. And hopefully something comes into range and hits it.
Very good. Now, you're fishing with a longer rod than some of the other folks.
Yeah, this is a 36-inch rod. It's just the one I had set up with mono.
One I own.
Yeah. No, my other rod has braid, and it was freezing up on me a little bit, so I went over to the mono rod.
Yeah. I'm Dan Thissell with Team Daddy Mac.
Been a long day already.
kind of like Jim, just what I had rigged. An epoxy drop with one of the wax worms there.
Which are good. You mean one of the butterworms?
Butterworms.
Yeah, butterworms. Yeah.
No, do you know what butterworms are?
Not specifically.
All right. So it's caterpillar larvae that they import from South America, and they irradiate them before they get into the United States. They can't
reproduce.
They won't become adults, and they won't reproduce. Ah. So they're like bionic.
Yes. Kidding, yeah, like, I didn't know that.
Like Hulk worms.
Yeah.
So yours should be in good shape.
Yeah, just don't get them angry. Yeah. All right, well, we wish you luck.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I could use some.
Yeah.
Have you got any fish at all?
I've got one flag on the tip up, and that's it.
Well, so the fish hunter is new to me. I used the Vexilar last year and loved it. And this fish hunter, we just, you know, it was a good Black Friday special, and we do lots of fishing in kayaks now. So this type of a thing, you can actually throw it. Uh-huh. And it has a little rope attached to it, so...
Now, I can throw all my gear. That's not nothing special.
So I have a hand warmer stuck to the back of my phone. The app here, you click on the sonar, and you click on your device. Click Start Fishing, and you can either click 3D Bottom, Bottom Mapping, Directional Casting, or Ice Fishing. So I'm clicking on the Ice Fishing view, and it's exactly like Vexilar...
Let me get a shot of that.
Yeah, we'll see.
The last time I saw somebody balance a phone on their knee like that, it went in the water.
Oh, geez. Don't jinx me.
Yeah.
It was last week.
It was. It was Vinny.
Yeah. I'm backing up now.
Yeah, you should. It's scary.
See, I got this bucket at Market Basket. It's an icing bucket, so.
Perfect.
Yeah. Pretty soon I'm getting a real one like everybody else so I can put all my stickers on it.
That is a bucket.
That's truly a bucket.
I'd like to catch a rock bass. I've never caught one of those before. Well, I have an epoxy drop on one, a clam drop. It's also has the spikes on the end.
Yeah.
And this one, I can't remember if it's called a slammo or what it's called.
It's got a good name.
It does.
Oh,
look at that.
It looks like a mini perch. So my day job is I'm a registered dietitian at a hospital. And I'm also a yoga instructor, so I go into classrooms and teach yoga to kids. And balancing is important because most of my classes are actually on weight loss and trying to people help get the exercise and healthy eating in.
Yeah,
So I love being outside. And anytime I can, either before work, after work, or on the weekends, I try to get some fishing in. So if I'm not doing something else, I'm probably fishing. My dad and I go fishing a lot. We usually try to set up a couple different trips that we'll go on, and we're also a part of a fly fishing club. So it's called the New England Saltwater Fly Rodders. So if we're once a month, there's meetings that we go to, or there's they have like at Plum Island, we have a group that gets together every once in a while, and then why not fishing? I've been fishing with them a little bit too. They have some meetups that anyone can go and meet up with them. So,
it's awesome.
Yeah. So I try to find other people to go fishing with too, whenever I can.
The middle of Winnipesaukee here, 40 feet deep, walking on water. We are the Jesus of Moultonboro right now. And we're going to check out to see how Hugo's faring here. Hugo Madeira is our Fish Nerds culinary correspondent. And it's about 12 degrees out, no wind, sunny, beautiful.
We don't have 30-mile-an-hour consistent winds like 1 year ago. I'm just looking to get my first fish of the morning.
Hugo does some online cooking stuff.
Outdoor culinary connection, yeah. I want to get some. I want to get 25 white perch today so I can cook those up later and take some videos and do a little cooking segment later.
He's also well-rounded.
Play guitar a little bit.
Yeah.
Psycho's 14. So AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, the Allman Brothers, little blues, all that stuff. Come back when I get the 25 fish limit here next to me.
We're asking people what your day job is.
Day job is very interesting.
Do tell.
Currently, right now, no day job. So fishing is the main priority.
So the balance is pretty easy at this.
It is. It's very easy. Well, I commercially fish in the summer.
Oh, okay.
So I met Jack. All rod and reel.
All rod and reel?
Yep. Striped bass, mostly.
Really?
There's dealers down on the Cape. Plenty of dealers down there.
What a cool job.
Yeah, it's seasonal, though.
Does it make enough to keep you through winter?
No. Got to catch some rock bass to live.
My day job is I'm an elevator mechanic, and I balance my fishing by not sleeping. I usually fish 7 nights a week. I have 2 kids. After they go to sleep, I go out and usually fish till 2, 3 in the morning.
How's business been?
Business? It's been good this year.
No, the setup is, it's up and down. See, it's elevators.
Yeah.
See,
when
hilarious.
You work on elevators, you don't really think of that, you know?
We take a break to talk to Tim and Chuck. So Tim of Tim Moore's Outdoors runs the guide service that everybody was using today. Tim does an amazing job along with Chuck. They have some outstanding equipment and even more outstanding knowledge of the area. Both super nice guys. They also surprised us when we showed up. Not only did they have our studio space set up in the clam shelter, but they'd gotten us a cake that was wishing us a happy 100th episode. So they really go all out, do it right. Tim and Chuck, for Tim Moore Outdoors. So anyway, we did catch up with Tim to see how the day was going. Tim.
I got the all-terrain grill going. We're getting ready to warm up some sausage, some bacon, and some ham, egg sandwiches for everybody.
You're here.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. That's
good
amazing.
Up, huh? Yeah. Thanks to Zippo for giving us the grill. Yeah.
What is the ideal sort of rig, would you suggest, on Winnipesaukee?
My favorite, the epoxy drop. I love that jig. I've caught every fish that swims in Winnipesaukee except cusk on the epoxy drop. Literally every fish in here I've caught on an epoxy drop.
Wow.
Except burbot. This is a pretty clean lake, so white. Up in the area we're in, it's a little more stained, so my next go-to would be the green one. Well, with the epoxy drop, 4-pound test. I like the P-Line fluoro ice. It's pretty nice and limp and smooth.
Yeah, Clay likes to do P-Lines too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He likes to write his name.
Oh, those aren't P-lines. No, this is P-line, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not the same kind as that Clay does. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, yep. I like, my favorites are the Legacy series and then the Jason Mitchell Gen 7s. For white perch, that rod is amazing. Mm. I love that rod.
Small jigs, a few spikes on there. That's the trick. I mean, they're pretty finicky. I'm seeing whites coming in and going real quick. So, but we're in a good basin here. So that stuff works pretty much anywhere on this lake. Smaller is better.
Stay mobile. Keep it easy so it's easy to move around and you're not stuck in one area. Don't drop any anchors. And move. Don't spend too much time on a fish that doesn't want to bite. Go find one that will.
See ya.
Bye. Basins.
What is a basin?
A depression. A hole. Yep. Deep hole. 30 feet. So usually what we look for is 30-foot depressions.
So do you want shallow on all other sides of it, or are you looking for just a big hole, or is it?
That's what makes it a basin. It comes up shallow on the sides.
I'm trying to help people who don't know as much as me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how shallow it comes up. Right. I mean, typically you're gonna be in the 20-foot depth, and it'll drop into 30 or 40 feet.
Mm-hmm.
50 feet is if we go that deep sometimes too. And the perch will just lay in those holes in the middle of the day. So you just go in there and drop your jig to the bottom, rattle it around, shake up some silt, wake them up.
We went to a new spot. Tim was using his electric auger, which is an electric drill hooked to a clam auger. The thing's awesome. And then we got a surprise tube. So this is him going through 10 inches of ice.
This is a hole. Fish on already. That's what makes this spot awesome. We're in a hole next, and it's adjacent to a rock. So the perch will come in here and just hide. And anything that comes off those rocks in the form of food, they can eat it. But it's a basin.
Oh, holy cats. Did you get
it? Did you get it, Smalley?
Yeah.
Holy
cats. Nice one. Yo,
nice he
one.
Came off the hook and you got him just in time. It just struck immediately. That was awesome. Let's stay at the spot now.
Well, the day is being wrapped up, and I wanted to clue the listeners in on a little bit of context. Once all the crews got a chance to fish in the area, both two places, one and about another half mile away, and they shuttled groups back and forth to the secret white perch spot next to the big rock.
they all came back, and we had one final wrap-up event, and that was to enjoy the cake that Tim and Chuck got us for our 100th anniversary, and also get a picture.
We have our cake, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations, Fish Nerds.
Yay!
100th show.
100th episode. We just wrapped up here. And so we're going to have cake in a few minutes, and then that'll be good. But we're so glad you guys all came, and I know it wasn't about us, but we're happy to, that you just to meet everybody and have everyone come hanging out. So thanks.
Awesome.
Yeah, totally good.
Now, at this point, all about 10 or 15 of us, I think probably 15 of us, decided it was a good idea to get a picture. So we all lined up in this big semicircle, and one person from the Get Bent crew went out and set up the fancy camera for a timer and runs back as we're waiting. And there was a point where the ice popped, and you can hear it in this audio if you listen very carefully. We realized that we all were piled up on one spot where there hasn't been that much ice so far this year. It's been a very warm winter up here. And just take a listen to the reaction once the ice pops. And it dropped a pretty good amount.
All right, sniff in quick so there's no snot hanging out of your face.
All right, there you go.
Oh, crap! That was a little
warm. 10 seconds.
10.
Here we go.
What is that?
Watch the camera.
Hey!
705. Hey!
All right.
God, imagine we all fell through.
Get a picture of
two.
Well, we couldn't do a 100th episode without having a little bit of fish in the news. CNBC. That's the source of this news story.
CNBC, okay.
CNBC. Pass the dogfish nuggets.
Ooh, delicious.
Trash fish rebranded.
So this is like a trend we've been seeing the last couple of years where every so often, like every 2 months or so, a story or two will come out where they're pushing dogfish again.
Yeah, there you go. And this story starts up with the call them fish sticks for millennials.
Millennial sticks.
at any rate, that's what Dana Bartholomew is banking on, college students warming up to shark bites.
I bet they'd go for it.
I bet they would too. And that's from Ipswich Shellfish Company in Massachusetts. And so they're trying to put together dogfish nuggets coated with gluten-free, allergen-friendly crust.
I love it. So all those, you know, I think millennials are like the most allergenic kids there are. They can't eat anything. So you got to be gluten-free, peanut-free, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And why not have shark involved in that too? So, because who has a shark allergy? No one would know. Right? Because no one's eating sharks.
Right. And lots of people have a shark allergy to live ones that are trying to eat them.
Right. But I love it. I love the idea of dogfish nuggets.
Yeah. So Bartholomew's fondness for dogfish is part a growing trend in fish markets around the country, just as you said. The industry is putting more emphasis on fish that have traditionally lacked market appeal and economic value as old staples, such as cod, tuna, haddock, and shrimp. And so, yeah, they're trying to promote dogfish nuggets.
I love it. Now, this is fighting culture. This is one of those cultural battles that is going to go on for a long time, and it has to. And targeting millennials is smart because people like us, our generation has already written dogfish off. It's not food.
Right.
You know, we're the outliers that think it's no big deal to eat it. But I think it's smart. So we'll see what happens.
I think it's smart, too. One of the challenges is that they do have a high mercury count at times.
Yeah.
And
higher than, let's say, the equivalent other species, like if cod, for example.
Well, I'm not sure about that. The story does say that they can contain high levels of mercury.
Right. But I always wonder, higher than what?
Right. And I suppose anything can contain high levels of
mercury.
Yeah.
Well, who cares? You know what? They're not eating, no one's eating enough fish when mercury is really the problem.
Right. Exactly.
You know, the problem might be we're not eating enough fish, but not the mercury is not that scary.
There was another spokesman from On the Water restaurant in Portland, and they serve dogfish tacos.
Oh, that sounds good.
At a festival in Portland.
You know what, though? When people serve fish tacos, it's when they're, it's not a sign of confidence. you make fish cakes and fish tacos out of fish you're not sure what to do with.
That's true.
That's my opinion.
I know. I think you're right.
You know, like if you were a nice fillet of something, you're confident in that fish being yummy. Mm. But you make tacos or fish cakes, you're not so sure about it. You're still experimenting. That's my opinion.
Hey, there was a fisheries specialist in the Coastal Resources Center of the University of Rhode Island.
Okay.
Named Azure. Azure Seigler.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Azure.
Azure. Is that blue?
I think so. And she said what she called underloved species are critical for sustaining fisheries and providing local protein sources in New England.
So that's the PC word for trash fish.
Yes.
Yeah.
She pointed to the growth of scup.
Ooh. And scup are porgies?
Yes, an Atlantic species sometimes sold as porgy.
I knew something.
Yeah, you did. Which has grown from less than 3 million pounds in 2000 to more than 15 million pounds in 2014. And they're sold in Whole Foods.
That's perfect.
She said the big thing was that they changed the name to silver bass.
It's pretty funny. It was like when we talked to the what was the restaurant? The Black Trumpet.
Yeah.
And they were changing the name of dogfish to Cape Shark.
Right.
Fish in the news.
Cron.com.
Cron.
Cron! Cron! Cron.com ran a story under their strange and weird news.
I love it.
Weird fish with legs found by New Zealand snorkelers puzzle scientists. So, a 10-inch specimen thought to be the type or a type of frogfish was found by Claudia Hauser.
All right.
There you go. Claudia's claim to fame. She found a legged fish.
That's pretty exciting.
It is. It's a black creature about 10 inches long, looks something like a fish with legs, but also bears some resemblance to either a bird or a bat.
I saw a picture of this thing. It is kind of gruesome looking.
It was found by a family in New Zealand Bay area. And what other news? How can this be news? This weird creature is likely to be a species of frogfish, but we won't know until we have a chance to examine it closely. Museum said on its Facebook page.
That's it, huh?
That's it. Frogfishes have the fastest bite of any vertebrate.
Really? What does that mean?
I don't know. Their mouths expand at the speed approaching a .22 caliber rifle bullet.
Wow.
Oh, and they said, and that's in a medium, 800 times denser than air. So the speed of this mouth expanding is at the speed of a .22 rifle bullet underwater.
That's that means you can't see it.
That's right. That's like a boom.
Wow. So it's like when you go to the aquarium and it's time to feed the fish, and they gather around and they're, you know, they're feeding the sharks and you can watch them eat, and you're feeding the lionfish and you can watch them eat, and they feed the frogfish, and they go ta-da, and the kids are like, nothing happened. I'm like, yeah, well, it's really fast. It's very fast, son.
Andrew Stewart, the museum's fish expert, who gave that little factoid, said by email that he would be thawing the specimen later in the day and would have an identification after examining the head.
I was listening to a show the other day, a different podcast, and they were talking to a fish expert who finds new species. And they have to, in order to identify a new species and get it qualified, you have to kill a number of the new species. Well, you can't just go out and see it. You can't observe it. You have to physically kill it, bring it to the lab, and
chop it up.
Yep, and chop it all up.
Measure stuff.
Yep.
And the I saw a story. Did you see the recent story where that Vietnamese turtle died?
No.
It was a spiritual turtle, mm-hmm. mystical turtle,
mm-hmm.
in this one lake. They think it was around 380 years old.
Wow.
And it was this big, giant, soft-shelled turtle. I forget what it was, like a Vietnamese soft-shelled turtle.
The most delicious kind.
And there was only three left.
Now there's only two.
Now there's only two.
Jeez. Well, if you live that long, you don't need there to be a lot of you.
I know. But, you know, down to two. Or maybe there was four, now there's three. I don't know. It's something bad.
Wow.
I know. So they're kind of done with that turtle. But kind of interesting.
It is. How did it die?
Well, they think old age.
I read once that turtles were one of the only vertebrate animals that every year they live, they actually have a higher chance of surviving for one more year. So, like most animals, as they get older, odds of them dying comes faster and faster.
Yeah.
But with turtles, it actually becomes better odds to survive.
Well, there has to be some breaking point, though.
Well, obviously, but like...
But yeah. Once one's 30, it's likely to get to 50.
It can get to 50, no problem. Yeah, because it's, you know, less predation, your big hard shell, their big...
Yeah, well, I suppose that makes sense.
Yeah.
I suppose that makes sense. Such a rare turtle, though, is insane. They said that it's one of the four spiritual animals of Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
The others are dragon, unicorn, and some other mythical creature. It's like, oh, there's only one that's real.
So, and pretty soon that won't be real anymore either, and that will have a great equalization of mythical creatures.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's the same.
Yep.
But, yeah, so that's news that we don't have at our fingertips, but that's fish-related.
It totally is fish-related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a big soft-shell turtle. So this is our 100th episode.
Mm-hmm.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Now it's time to bore our listeners with our thoughts on podcasting.
Oof. Okay.
So one of my thoughts is that what a great thing that it's replaced ham radio.
Right. Have you ever tried to carry a ham radio around with you?
It's really, they're heavy and difficult.
Really challenging. Yeah, I had one once.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
I never use it. I bought it at an auction for $20. I sold it for $400.
Oh.
So.
Oh, my God. That's
yeah,
good.
It's amazing. They're valuable.
Well, certainly the digital space and podcasting is awesome to be able to really be able to produce a show. And we were just talking about it today, the outpouring of support for what we do.
Well,
it's great.
Well, let's give some context. So we arrived in the ice this morning to fish with Tim Moore and Chuck Fritz, mm-hmm. And the whole gang here. And they set up a studio for us on the ice, in a clam shack here.
Yeah, awesome clam shack, by
the way. And we walk in, and there's a cake here. And it says, congrats on your 100th show from Tim and Chuck. And it has like a 100 on it, and it says Fish Nerds, and it's full of gummy fish and Swedish fish and stuff. And
it's crazy.
I mean, how nice is that?
It's so nice. It's unbelievably nice.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't ask for any kinder like thing to do. And
yeah, it was really, really wonderful. And so the idea that this medium of podcasting can make those kind of connections, because you know, if I didn't do podcasting, I would not have any friends.
Right, well, you don't. I was telling you, I met your boss the other day. And I said, hey, I'm Dave's friend. And he goes, it's nice to meet one of Dave's friends. I said, no. I am Dave's friend.
Yep, that's about it.
I don't think he was laughing, but to me it was so funny.
it's kind of true. And sort of to be able to start a community kind of thing is awesome.
Yeah, and we built a community, and like today we're fishing, and there's about 25 people hanging out with us in the ice. And
yeah. We didn't build these people.
There are people.
we didn't start.
But some of them are our people, and we've made friends with these people.
Yeah, we've made friends. And this group of people have often said that the nice people in fishing all should get together, and they do. And it's we just happen to be part of those, because we're nice.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah.
We show up to about half the things we're invited to.
But no, we certainly all share just sort of a love of fishing. And so we're out here on the frozen lake of Winnipesaukee.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous out.
It's really nice out. Last year we did the same thing. It was terrible.
Right.
My thought on podcasting, similar to yours, first of all, I mean, just how interesting is having technology where you can just push record and go.
Oh, I know.
But for me, it's been about having an outlet for my brain, like just a brain dump every single week. Mm. You know, because the stuff we talk about, Kristen, my wife, I want to hear about. You know what I mean? I can't sit. I can't sit for an hour a week and talk to her about stuff we talk about here.
That's true. And nobody else really wants to hear this.
Well, apparently people do, because we got 100 episodes in and we have listeners.
Well, what's interesting is it takes an entire world to find enough people that would be interested to listen to this stuff.
That's a very true thing.
Yes. So we got, you know, several hundred listeners, but that's out of the world.
And very niche.
It's very niche. Yes. But God bless them.
Well, you know, I think the, you know, I think our small number of listeners are powerful listeners.
They are, actually. They're very engaged.
Very engaged. And I think we would have more if people would talk about us more, share our stuff with their friends.
That's true.
Doesn't that sound nice?
It does sound nice.
Probably not true. But it sounds nice. So.
I think it's one of those things that they may lose friends if they say
they may.
Hey, you ought to listen to this. And they really, you like that?
Yeah.
Really? Fishing. So yeah, I'm not sure. I guess it's worthwhile to share it for others that like that kind of stuff.
Right. If you have other people who like what we're doing,
right.
If you know them, then share. Don't just. You know, your grandma probably didn't care.
Right. I would not recommend this to most grandmothers. Not that, I mean, that's sexist and ageist, but.
Okay. Your grandpa may not like it. Oh, he probably would.
Yeah. But anyway, so kudos to all our listeners.
Thank you.
For sticking with us.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. 100 episodes. Big thanks to Tim and Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
And all those that are out here on Lake Winnipesaukee, too. And the whole world, man.
And the world. And for Daddy McElroy's for supporting our 100th episode.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. They've.
That's right. We even have them supporting the 100th episode.
Not only did they bought Fish Nerds hats from us, they gave us cash.
Yeah. So that's really, really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a good run.
Really good run. And you're talking like it's over, Dave. Are you quitting?
I am. I quit.
Fuck.
I just wanted to get to 100.
Got to 100 and...
out.
Drop the mic. Boom. Speaking of out, I need to get out of this tent and go catch some fish. I am...
You are getting itchy.
I am. I can't focus on anything. I'm like... So while we're recording, we're on the ice recording. We're jigging in ice fishing holes. Jigging and talking, and we're not catching fish, and I'm so distracted. I can't take it.
He's got to go.
Yeah. All right.